the project, the stormwater project that the town did starting in 2004, in which we're about to pay off the final year next year, and I'm talking about the area starting at Bay Harbor down to Beach Street, was intended to store some of the natural flow that existed before those subdivisions were put in. That's this is coming from the master plan that was done at that time. I'm talking about Bay Harbor, Jennifer Circle, and those streets. Inlet Point, there's a trough that runs down the middle of the barrier island. And that water, before those developments were put in, flowed to the south. When those streets were put in and did not have that connection to allow that water to flow, it created these little tiny closed-off basins. And so that's why you see that water ponding in there. Ponding, that's to put it mildly. But so that what that project was intended to do 20 years ago is to restore some of that flow. But what we're seeing is, you know, with these storms, is that it was not enough. And so it helped a little bit, but it was not designed to accommodate the kind of rainfall that we've been seeing lately. That was one of the recommendations of our watershed master plan, is to increase the size of those. And so that's when we allude to these different projects in that plan, that's definitely one of them. And that's one of the things we're gonna have to work on.
Mike, thank you. Does anyone else have anything to say on this? Because I think we really just have to wait. So thank you. Thank you, Councilman White, for bringing that on the agenda. We are now down to Vice Mayor Smith. Do you have anything you wish to share with us?
Finish this meeting and reconvene
for
5 o'clock?
Isn't that okay? Yeah, I was just going to finish everything and then
come back.
Unless we have a lot to say.
Oh,
I
look.
Stories that I can tell you.
No, I thought I would finish it up. We would have maybe a 10, 15, 20 minute, an hour break.
Between Bill, Skip, and me, we could.
No, we're not looking for you.
We have
Bill
to talk about my son's wedding, so y'all need to hurry up.
Okay. Vice Mayor Smith, what would you like to share with us?
No, I've had my say for the day. Thank you.
Well, we thank you. Okay, Council Member Villanella.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for the confidence in allowing me to represent you folks for the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yay, Joe.
Scary, isn't it? Scary, isn't it?
Council Member White, what would you share with us?
I have nothing further, thank you.
Oh, my God. Hmm?
Did you say nothing? Okay. Councilmember Milano.
Jane, what did you threaten him with?
It wasn't Jane.
Just thank again for trusting me. I've truly enjoyed I don't consider this a job. I think it's just something that is the town of Ponce Inlet has trusted me, and I've tried to do what they have asked, and I've tried to use just being using common sense in everything that I operate with. And again, thank you. But just a quick story on the shelter. The shelter this past week had 98 people in it. We were built for 100. We've been averaging in the 70s. We had 98. As I told you last month, we're getting a larger number of elderly in their 60s. Our average used to be down in the 40s. It's moved up into the 50s now because of the elderly that have been coming. We did bust 300,000 meals since we opened. We actually, in next month, December 19th, will be open for five years. The gala's February 8th. We put on every year, and it has really helped us. We have not received any money from Volusia County. They are the second largest organization putting people into the shelter. They did sign the five-year contract. It's coming up in January, I think, for them to discuss whether they're going to continue to participate with the shelter. So we'll wait and see. But we now have housed, as of last month, 774 people of the 1,700 that have entered the shelter. Of those, 1,700 or so. There's 1,023 that are now getting some, that are working with some kind of income. They may not have finished with us, but we still do the paperwork with them and try and get them through. We're still at 94% retention for 2 years after people leave the shelter, and we have now been able to find 126 birth certificates over the years that the people did have, and some of them didn't even know where they were born. I am so proud of Ponce Inlet for participating because, you know, as the chief will tell you, we have not sent many people over to the shelter in the 5 years it's been open, but we have participated, and I mean, I think it's $14,000 and some odd dollars a year, and we do it because of Pottinger, and now the new law, Mike, Cliff, correct me if I'm wrong on this, the new law says every municipality shall have a safe zone. We have one. It may be 10, 12 miles away from us, but we participate in the shelter, thus we participate in the safe zone. But I'm just going to give you a quick story. Our capacity, as I said, and we've been getting a larger number of women. When the shelter was originally built, the sides were 100 total, 60 beds on the men's side, 40 beds on the female side, and we had to take, this past month, we had to take one of our storage units and we put two bunk beds in to increase the size up to 44. Now we just gave the executive director approval to take, when you walk in the shelter, this little open storage area that the interior wall is actually the wall separating the outside with the women's section. We're taking that wall out, moving the wall out to where the entrance is, and we can put in four bunks. Will increase the size of an additional 8. So the men's side will still have the 60, but the woman's side will be up to 52. And it's been interesting. And last month, remember I said we were getting more and more people that have lost housing? Last month, we actually were able to get 33 people into housing. It's the best month. We usually run 19, 20. We had 33 this past month. And I'm just going to tell you real quick about two people, and I know Mark always likes me to read it instead of try and summarize what happened, but we had two residents came in. It was Tom and Martha, and they came in October, and we got them into housing in October, but they came to us in June. Tom was living on a $1,505 monthly disability, and Martha was living on $803 disability, and they were both ineligible for subsidized housing because of Tom's drug possession and Martha's story. Every time she had a job, she'd be in the hospital, and no one would hire her, and we were able to, in October, they decided that they, given their circumstances, they were trying to seek a way to get out of the shelter, and they decided they would put their income together, and we were able to find a landlord who would take the risk of having them in there because they felt that Martha could maintain and hold a job, and they moved into their new apartment October 31st, and November 6th, Martha stopped by the shelter to tell them that Tom and Martha were engaged. So good things do happen in the shelter. And on that note, I'm going to stop.
Thank you, Bill. What I'd like to do is advise the council and, of course, all of you in attendance of my current work. There are things I need to share with all of you. In January of 2025, I will become the chair of the Volusia County Roundtable of Elected Officials. And these bi-monthly meetings take place at the Daytona Beach Airport. It includes all mayors, municipal managers, county council members, the sheriff, supervisor of elections, county clerk, the tax collector, and many others. Now, these meetings are open to everyone, and we discuss issues that are common for all the municipalities' issues that impact the county itself. And at the Florida League of Cities, you know, that is the organization that provides advocacy throughout session, is I participated in their policy meetings that will set the goals and priorities for our advocacy work in Tallahassee during the upcoming legislative session. The committee I serve on is the Utilities, Natural Resources, and Public Works, and I sit as their vice chair. Now, there are two priorities of that committee. The first focuses on revenue, and the second is a concept known as One Water. Briefly, the revenue issue could potentially impact the agreement that we have with Port Orange for municipal water services. I'll give you more details later as they unfold as we go through these committees. The second priority is the One Water Initiative, and that is a holistic and integrated approach to the management of all water resources, be it surface, well water, fresh, marine, potable, waste, or reclaimed water. And what we're seeking to do is create a statutory framework that will integrate all these systems that will provide funding and regulation, vulnerability assessments, environmental protection, and planning. So those are the two priorities that the committees are working on. I will bring them back to you because I'm going to need a consensus of council for permission to advocate them during the legislative session. Now, closer to home, following in the wake of Hurricane Milton, the topic of underground utilities, specifically power lines, has come up once again. And with council's permission, what I would like to do is engage the resources and individuals at FPL to obtain just some basic information on this important topic. And if possible, I would like to speak with FPL. I would like to invite a representative to join us at a future council meeting and address this issue. I also intend, again, with the consensus of council, to speak with our lobbyists just to learn more about whatever grant funding might be available for such projects. So with that, I do ask just consensus to permit me to do the research. Everybody good with that?
Sure.
Thank you. Now, another ongoing concern for our town is tree protection. The current state statute lacks teeth and allows arborists and homeowners to submit reports containing false and fraudulent language to support tree removals. It also allows for work on tree stumps to be performed without a requirement to identify the location of gas lines and water or electrical lines. I'm not suggesting for a moment that there's any fraudulent activity going on in this town at all, but as a policy and as regulations, these proactive regulations are important for the state of Florida. So I've been communicating with the Vice Mayor of Coral Gables, Rhonda Anderson. She is also an attorney, and she has proposed changes to the statute after their city experienced quite a bit of fraudulent reports from arborists and homeowners that resulted in the removal of healthy specimen oaks. And I would like consensus to advocate on behalf of the town for a modification of the current state tree statute to just put more teeth into it. So I'm hoping that you'll find that to be a worthy endeavor. Yes?
Yeah.
Thank you?
Sure.
Okay, good. And last, I would like to introduce the concept of a community wellness program that would include voluntary in-home wellness visits by our own Ponce Inlet paramedics and EMTs. The health and safety of our community is perhaps our most important responsibility, and we have many seniors living alone, as well as others that are housebound or with restricted mobility. These wellness visits provide an opportunity to ensure that their medication is being taken, to check for any outward signs of troubling medical conditions, and to reassure our vulnerable residents that they live in a community that cares. And as our medics become familiar with the health history and status of our seniors and all our vulnerable residents, the knowledge they gain may assist them when responding to emergency calls involving these same individuals. Now, I would have to research, we would have to research into this program because it does involve liability, funding, the cost of the program, inclusion of our paramedics. There are just many parts to this and the program design itself. So what I'm looking for is council's approval just to begin to start looking at what options may be available to even initiate this kind of program. There could be barriers and roadblocks to this. I really don't know. But I would like to begin some research, look at funding, speak with our attorney, and discuss potential liability. So there's just a lot with that, but I wanted to share with you an idea that maybe we could implement that has a potential. So how do you all feel about that? Again, just research, not doing anything. Good? Good?
Sure.
Well, thank you. I thank my council for all of that. And
you doing it, then us have to do it. That's the key.
I will bring it all back to you. I assure you of that. So now we will move on to our to our town manager, please, for your report. Mike?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been quite a month. I think this is probably one of the longest manager's reports that I've prepared, and then I've had a whole bunch since then that I'll get to. The first was the living seawall workshop that took place last night at the community center. So I was fortunate to be able to attend that with most of the council there, actually. I thought that was very informative. For those that may not have heard about it, this was a program put on by several of our local universities, Embry-Riddle, I believe UCF, BCU, and some others. They have applied to collectively for a grant from the National Science Foundation to develop technologies for what they call living seawalls. This is a combination of where your natural shoreline, your mangroves, versus a hardened seawall, and then creating a hybrid system that has the best qualities of both. One that can diffuse wave energy, but is strong enough to protect the shoreline behind it, also creates natural habitat. You know, that's an issue when you have seawalls. For example, a seawall to a mangrove forest. They can both protect against wave action, but one, they have different qualities. Anyway, they're looking at these different designs. This was the first of several workshops they're going to be doing to gather community input on what's important to each community. They did one also in New Smyrna Beach. They are going to prepare a plan, and then hopefully what they're looking for is actually partners, places to partner with, and locations to develop a pilot program to test out these technologies. So what I was hoping with the council's permission would let me continue that conversation further with the lead professor on that, maybe see if there's opportunities, or what levels of partnership there are right now. Volusia County, for example, is a partner, but it's very limited. It's just they show up at the workshops, they provide advice, connections, to different stakeholders and so forth. But we have property here in Ponce Inlet that currently does not have any protection. That's Ponce Preserve. Right now, it's protected only by the county's trap bags. I heard last night that that's a condition of the county's permit with the state to put in those trap bags, requires them to remove them once the sand restoration project is complete, and that's anticipated for next March. So with that, it's not going to have any protection anymore. So this may be an opportunity for us to get some sort of level of protection, and since this is funded by national grants, hopefully a little or no cost. So if you'd like, I would like to explore that further with him and then bring back some additional information to the council.
Yes.
I think we all Absolutely. Would be very happy for you to do that, Mike. Thank you.
Bless you. Okay. All right. I will do that. And if the public is interested, I did get the slides from that presentation. We can put those on our website and so people can see what it was. Okay, then let's see. Back in one of the partners I mentioned in that is the Riverside Conservancy. And Kelly McGee was there and Danny Young from Young Bear Environmental. They're ones that do these shoreline restoration projects around the town or around the county. Sorry. So back in April of last year, the county had reached an agreement with them. They were going to do a project in Ponce Preserve on the Riverside. They have not gotten to it yet, but I did hear from them that they're going to be starting that soon. Speaking of Ponce Preserve also, the pilings, we finally have issued the permit for that, and they have told us, the contractor, that the work will start December 1st. So once that can be done, we can open up the boardwalk on the park. It was a little bit of a challenge to get the permit issued, only because they had to develop or provide us with the engineering for that so we could issue the permit, but that's all done now. Another big project coming up, Public Works has been in discussions with AT&T about their plans to install fiber optic cable throughout the entire town. This is going to be a very big project. There have been other companies that have been doing this with mixed success. We want to make sure that they are, when they do come in, that it's done under a permit, that it's monitored, and that there's minimal, or if any, we want to prevent any kind of damage to town facilities and, you know, minimize disruptions to residents as much as possible. So that's exciting. I mean, that's to the entire town, like literally every street. They want to bring in fiber optic. Another thing, the finance department, this is now the time when they begin to prepare the annual audit. So for the next 6 months, they're going to be going back and looking at every transaction that occurred with the town over the entire past year. This concludes with a presentation by the auditor next April. So they're going to be very busy. This is the part of the annual process of what they do. We're required to do this audit by state law, and they've done an excellent job of it. In fact, they've 8 years perfect audits, and that is not easy to do. In addition to that, of course, they're going to be working with FEMA to get reimbursements for as much as we can for damage sustained from Hurricane Milton. So that process, I believe we're going to be meeting with FEMA in the next week or so to start that off. Our building inspector, Robert Blackburn, he left employment with the town last month after many years of service. Robert's one of those guys, he was very well respected amongst the community with contractors and property owners alike, so we won't miss him. We have advertised the position and we'll hope to be interviewing soon. Let's see, another thing that we had talked earlier about the Quint fire apparatus, we're expecting delivery of that in mid-December. Also with the fire department, they received an electric vehicle fire blanket. This was from the state fire marshal's office through Volusia County. This was given to us at free of charge. And what this does is it's intended to help smother the flames, especially if there's this creating poisonous fumes with the smoke until it can be put out properly. And then last two things, the town offices will be closed, of course, next week for Thanksgiving. The museum will also be closed Thanksgiving and then that Saturday as well. And the very last thing is just a reminder that the town's annual tree lighting event will be at Pollard Park Friday, December 6th at 6 p.m. Then there'll be a merry old-fashioned Christmas event at the museum on Saturday, December 14th at 10 a.m. And that's it.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff?
I appreciate everybody waiting for the announcement. My son got married on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Now, I am not going to adjourn the meeting. What I will do is we'll take a break until 5 o'clock when we can resume for item 11A, which is the zoning change ordinance, second reading. So come back at 5 o'clock, everyone. Thank you. Oh, the time, it's 4:43 right now. Yes, 4:43. Right now, we're going to take a break until 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We can bring the cake back out, too.